And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Friday, February 12th, 2021. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. A good afternoon to you. And hopefully you are getting your weekend off to a good start here on this Friday afternoon. MarketTalkAg.com. That is our home on the web. You can find us there, MarketTalkAg.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It is all at MarketTalkAg. And, of course, you can find the show on all your favorite streaming sources, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more, or all of our great radio affiliates. Like I say, from the Dakotas down to Texas, got a lot of great folks, part of the Market Talk family. You can find all that information online, markettalkag.com. Well, an interesting Friday as we wrap up the week and head into a three-day weekend. And today I'm pleased to have joining us a new guest on the show, Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge Group in Chicago. And Ted, it's great to have you on Market Talk for the first time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Ted, I just want to start and get your initial thoughts on how the trade wrapped up here on this Friday. Obviously, we've had a pretty tumultuous week. We saw the big sell-off Wednesday after the WASDE report. And then we kind of come back in here and stabilize this grain market a little bit here heading into a three-day weekend. What are just some of your initial thoughts here as we head into the long holiday weekend?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, Friday is one of these days that scare me. And what I mean by that is what happened on Friday and the way the markets were moving is almost exactly what I think we should be doing right now and should be doing going forward. And when I get too much of a good thing like that, I get a little bit concerned. But no, look, it makes all the sense in the world, right? You go back to that report that we had on Tuesday. The market was very disappointed by that corn report. You know, there had been a fair amount of people in the market talking about a 1.1 to 1.3 billion bushel carryover for corn because of all the big Chinese business that we'd seen a couple of weeks ago. You know, the market was convinced that the USDA was going to have to raise exports significantly, 100, 150, maybe even 200 million bushel, and give us that tighter balance sheet. But they didn't do that. They very explicitly said that, hey, these higher prices and this demand from China is taking away from other countries, in particular, the European Union, South Korea, and India. And we are, in fact, destroying some demand up here with these higher prices. So a big disappointment, you know, corn, that sent corn reeling for the next couple of days. Then we had the cancellation, albeit a fairly small one. And so the corn market's really trying to figure out what to do here and what to do with all this and direction. And unfortunately, I think that's lower. If I look at a 1.5 billion bushel carryover, to me, that really suggests somewhere in the range of a 485 to 5.25 being fair value. We're still trading well above that. So, you know, corn has to reconcile that somehow. The most bullish thing about corn right now, in my opinion, is soybeans. And quite the opposite of what we had in the corn report on Tuesday, you have a soybean report where the USDA finally acknowledged, hey, we're going to run out of soybeans this year if we don't shut down demand right here, right now. And then you follow that up with a Thursday morning export sales report where we sold over 800,000 metric tons again. Man, you can't slow this thing down in the soybeans. You know, yes, we know that our window of export opportunity is coming to an end fairly soon, so there could be some relief there. But if this carries on for another 2 or 3 weeks, we're less than 2 million metric tons away from hitting the USDA's new higher export number. And if we hit that again and drop below 120 million bushels, I mean, we're running into pipeline, which literally means we are running out of soybeans and our domestic end users are really going to have to scramble towards the end of this marketing year. So I don't know if a world exists where we have soybean prices rally $1.50 while corn prices come down 30 or 40 cents. I don't think corn will be that weak in that scenario. But as we get into planting and as we start into acreage, which we can have that conversation here too, maybe that will give a little bit more bearish feelings to the market. Maybe that allows soybeans to come down for a time while corn comes down. But we run the risk of lower soybean prices finding more demand, which we just simply cannot afford right now.
Yeah. And that kind of led me to where I was going to go next, talking about planting and the acreage battle. And I'm wondering here, I'm hearing some rumors from other folks that they're starting to think we're maybe setting some ranges in this grain trade now as we start to look towards the USDA outlook forum and start to get planting intentions. Do you see us setting some kind of like some trading ranges here throughout corn, beans, and wheat right now? Or what are you seeing?
Yeah. So, you know, I've heard a lot of that talk too this week. A lot of other analysts and a lot of, you know, my clients even suggesting that. we've been very volatile. So for a market to simmer down a little bit and let everybody take a breather, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. In fact, you know, going back to what we just talked about, that might actually be the best case scenario for corn. I'm not so sure about that. I'm really unsure about how I see the next few weeks play out. Because like I said, I have a very strong case for soybeans to have to go higher. And I've got a fairly strong case for corn to not, or possibly even go lower. So yeah, how that plays out. But again, I think the trade as a whole would welcome a little bit of sideways trade for a little while. Let the market catch its breath. Let the trade kind of figure out, all right, which way do we go from here? See what happens on the demand side of things. You know, maybe the soybean export sales slow down and we'll say, okay, we're high enough for now, at least until we get into planting. But we could get some volatility coming out of that outlook forum. You know, this is the first time we're going to be looking at the USDA's new crop balance sheet, although it's not in the form of a WASDE report, and the trade usually puts more credence to the one when we see the next WASDE report. That'll be the one we really dig into. But you got guys like myself, you know, analysts that get pulled by, you know, Bloomberg, Reuters, Dow Jones, Wall Street, really having to think about the new crop balance sheet right now, because we're getting questions about, okay, what do you think the outlook forum is going to say? And I don't know. I mean, I've just been trained after, you know, so many years that as soon as I get that February report, by the end of the day, I push that aside and I'm already working on new crop balance sheets. So now the acreage conversation really starts in earnest. And I think that's a very interesting conversation. I think you look at the last 2 years where we had a whole bunch of weather issues that really kept us from hitting our full potential on acreage. But not only that, you had really depressed prices. You had really depressed mentalities. We really weren't pushing to try to get as much acreage as possible. Even if we did have the weather, I don't think we would have. So now under these circumstances where you have much better prices, how is this going to play out? And I think we're staring down the barrel of a 7 to 10 million acre increase combined between the row crops. And so the question is, how does that play out? I mean, if you look at where December corn is versus November soybeans, you know, it seems like we've been saying for months, like, okay, beans need to buy a ton of acres, which is, by the way, that is absolutely the case. But you look at the fight that December corn has put up, and you look at 450 plus corn, and we like to plant corn, Jesse. I mean, that we proved that year after year after year. You wonder, is corn going to gather too many acres of that, you know, 7 to 10 million when it should really be going to soybeans? So is that November bean contract going to make a move against that December corn contract at some point in the next few weeks before we really get into planting? And I think it should. When I'm running my balance sheets for new crop soybeans, keep in mind we have a much, much lower beginning stocks number, right? And that really changes things. We've got about 420 million bushels less going into next year than we had the year before. That's about 8 million acres worth of production. So when we talk about gaining 7 million acres of soybeans, well, if demand is anywhere near what we saw this year, we're right back in the same position, Jesse. 7 million acres might not be enough to solve the problem of tight balance sheets that we're seeing with soybeans. And once the trade realizes that, I think that November soybeans might actually be the most undervalued thing on the board right now.
Well, and we haven't even, you know, touched on wheat, sorghum, milo, cotton, and other parts of the country where that's shaping up to be in the conversation for acreage as well. And I'm with you. I think the case for soybeans to go higher is there. I've heard from some friends of mine in the Midwest and Iowa, Minnesota. They're talking about tearing up, you know, fields where they've done continuous corn for years and going to soybeans. So, yeah. I mean, I'm really curious to see some of these acreage numbers when we get them in front of us and just how that, you know, works with this market. And the other thing too, South America, I think to your point with the soybean equation, Ag Resource came out today and said early harvest of Brazilian beans showing some disappointing yields so far. So I think we have to watch what comes out of South America the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of conflicting with the numbers that we're hearing coming out of South America. Just earlier in the week, both Argentina and Brazilian reporting agencies increased their numbers because of recent rains and things like that. But then, you know, that's all well and good, but when you get into harvest and harvest results aren't great, well, okay, that's a problem, and that's something the market has to be concerned about. But, you know, Jesse, I really wonder what Chinese intentions are right now. Are they going to stop buying U.S. if Brazil looks really good and they've got the beans down there? I think the Chinese are really keen on stockpiling both corn and soybeans, but specifically soybeans, to not only build their stocks up to where they were pre-trade war, but really to push those stocks to levels where they have a cushion for 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 years. I'm feeling more and more like the Chinese have a bit of a plan. Well, I know they have a plan to expand their empire. They're looking at the South China Sea. They're building ships like no tomorrow. We have 10 naval vessels that are being built at the moment, or scheduled for the next year. They're building 10 at the same time, and they're going to try to cycle out and triple or quadruple what we're doing. They want to have a massive naval presence. And why? Because, again, they want to expand their empire. They want Taiwan. They have ideas. And they know that if they follow through on these ideas, that the rest of the world is going to kind of shun them. And, you know, rather than, you know, pick a fight with them, the first thing we're going to do is shut down trade. So in order to insulate themselves from that, I think they're just really looking to buy everything. They're looking at a change in ownership of the world's control of grain and oil seeds. And if you look at corn, I think that's sort of the reason why we're seeing these bigger purchases from China recently, even though the USDA insists that they have almost 200 million metric tons, which, by the way, you know, who knows? I know they have something. It's probably half that. Who knows? But their domestic prices are really very high. And the only thing that would make a lot of sense to me is that if the Chinese government is holding back all those stocks because they want to keep that on hand, and they're kind of forcing that domestic market to look at the import market to bring in more and more stocks. So I don't know, maybe that's a conspiracy theory. I'm not usually much of a conspiracy theorist, but this is something that's kind of been building, just watching things in the news and seeing how their buying patterns have played out over the past six to nine months. I really think that could be a factor. And even if it's not, the strength and the demand that we've seen from them lately, I don't think that's going away anytime soon. Unless there's another massive catastrophe with like ASF or something like that. But I kind of don't think we're going to see that happen. I think, Jesse, they've spent the last 2 years insulating themselves from ASF, moving that hog herd into the big concrete bunkers up in the north and east areas where they wanted them in the first place. And I don't see that problem fooling them again. So we'll see. I'm very optimistic on Chinese demand for the next few years for whatever reason. I think that demand is going to really make agriculture here in the United States really very good. So whatever we plant, I think is going to do good things. But right now, again, I think we need all the soybean acres we can possibly find, regardless of what happens down in South America.
Well, that's a very interesting thought about China, and I think it's something that bears watching here the next few months ahead. Real quick, corn and beans before we go to livestock. If I'm a producer, I know we don't have a whole lot of old crop left. We've sold quite a bit of this, but we're still hearing from guys who are marketing some new crop right now with some of these price levels. Real quick, any advice? Is it time to get some put strategies in place, or calls or options, or what should they be doing right now if they're doing any marketing of corn, beans, or wheat right now?
Yeah, great question, Jesse. This is a situation where I like using the cash market to manage risk. So I'm fine going ahead with HDAs or forward sales up to about 50 to 55% of my expected production for both corn and soybeans. But because we are in a situation where you've got new crop trading $2 less than old crop in beans and new crop trading $1 less than old crop in corn, and we have an outlook for, you know, maybe higher prices to come, especially if we get into a weather market and we see something we don't like, I think you use your cash to manage the downside risk. You use call options or call spreads to manage your upside potential. You can go into like a 1240, 1340 call spread out in November beans for, I think, a reasonable price, or what I would consider a reasonable price. And you can do the same thing in December corn. And that's the way that I kind of want to express my bullishness on price. I certainly don't want to leave the downside open. I absolutely want to have a good chunk of my new crop priced out, because things could change on a dime. China all of a sudden just stops buying. South America takes over and you know, everything that we just talked about Chinese intentions and whatever, none of that ends up being true. ASF here. There's so many black swan events that can happen. And honestly, if you look at that, the last 7 years happened all the time. So for something like that to happen again is certainly not out of the realm of the imagination. you definitely have to do your risk management. You have to look at these prices and say, wow, these are much better than what I was looking at last year or the year before, or the year before, or the year before. So take that opportunity. But there are ways to re-own upside potential. And I think there, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, in that way, my risk is only what I spent on my call options. I know that I have my price locked in on a good portion of my production at that point.
Ted, let's talk livestock. And this hog market really been on fire this whole entire week and wrapped up strong again on Friday. I know that February options expired and, you know, it settled right at $74 even. But you look how April, May, we'll see price levels 80s, 90s. For our independent hog producers that are still out there, what are some thoughts you have on this hog market and options they have in front of them right now?
Yeah, absolutely want to be bullish hogs. And the idea, you know, when you look in the spring and summer months, you know, trading much higher prices, there's two things about that. One, this is a bear spread market, which is not what you want to see when you're looking for higher prices. But two, fundamentally speaking, I think we can kind of justify that because, you know, we're really kind of hoping that China comes in and is a much bigger buyer with all the issues that are, or rumblings of issues that we're hearing about ASF, but also maybe some other winter hog diseases. And China has been somewhat active on recent export sales reports, 9,000 metric tons last week. Now, it's not a big, gaudy, flashy number, but it's a nice number, and it adds up to go along with the other export sales, which are pretty decent. So the back months, I think you can justify them being stronger. That being said, I think hog producers need to look at that and say, okay, we're 90-plus out in late spring into summer. This is a good time to maybe protect that, you know, sell it. And it's also maybe a good time to just be bull spread the market if you want to be somewhat bullish. So, yeah, I think the opportunities are there and thankful for them. So, yeah, I'll also say that, you know, if corn is going to come down a little bit or at least stop going up, that makes things a little bit better for the hogs and for feeder cattle as well. So that's sort of helping that case for the back month hog contracts.
Well, and over on the cattle side, you mentioned feeder cattle, and they got some good support here on Friday with a little bit of a lower dip in the corn market, live cattle as well. You know, this cattle market really seems it's just been stuck in the sideways range and has been trying to find a reason to break out to the high side, and it seems like it's been that way for months. You know, we got all this cold weather, snow in parts of the country that don't normally see snow.
Right.
Feedlot trade has been pretty quiet this week. And it could get even quieter if we get, you know, a foot of snow in Oklahoma, what some models are suggesting.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this cattle market? Are we going to see a break to the upside anytime soon?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, I think the reason why we've been reluctant to really have a significant breakout to the upside is because cash hasn't done it. I think there's room for cash to go higher. I'm a little surprised it hasn't. You know, Packers margins seem to be there. You look at 4 or 5 weeks of strong and strengthening box beef prices. Again, I think the room is there. But then you say, okay, well, cash cattle hasn't really been lit on fire. And you look at April trading, you know, almost in the mid-120s at this point, and you say, okay, well, we have a very stiff premium to cash at this point, and that makes you a little bit nervous. So we need to see that cash movement really progress. And if we do that, I think things will look good. Now, that being said, I really like what we did this week on a cattle chart. You know, Wednesday we had the negative day where we were down pretty significantly. We ran right into the lower end of this upward trending channel, held it pretty perfectly, followed it up with a higher day Thursday, and then a sharply higher day Friday. Technical trade is rocking and rolling. It looks good. It looks like we should go and make new highs. Again, we've seen that before, but no, the chart looks good. I'm going to say I really feel like that live cattle chart to me looks a lot like what the grains chart, specifically soybean chart, looked like back in, say, November. And if it plays out the same way, we could end up going quite a bit higher. But we'll see. Like I said, I really want to see that cash trade higher and do it in a convincing way. That'll make me feel really good about the upside potential for cattle when we do that.
Well, and I think finally, Ted, you know, we look at the stock market and some of those macro and outside factors that play into grains and livestock. And, you know, there's all the inflation talk and everything else out there right now. Anything you're seeing on kind of that outside market side of the equation that we need to watch out for that could play into our commodity and livestock markets?
Yeah. So the three big ones that I always like to touch on when we talk about outside markets are going to be the stock market, which, you know, we put in new highs in the Dow yesterday, and it just looks like that's never going to end. But wait, when you throw trillions and trillions of stimulus at an economy, you're going to see that happen because it's a reflection of inflation, in my opinion. but people are making a lot of money on the stock market. I mean, it's kind of like the Wild West of investing right now. When you see like GameStop and Cost, man, I miss my Cost headphones. Bring those back. You know, pot stocks. My neighbor, you know, he's not much of a trader. He's certainly not in the industry, but he's calling me, telling me he's just made $20,000 on pot stocks and he's going to go buy a new car. Well, okay, that's great for beef demand. I mean, that is. He likes steaks. I like steaks. You know, that's great for beef demand. So we feel really good about that. The one I don't feel great about is crude oil. That price of crude oil keeps going up, okay? And that's a problem for the ethanol blend. And we're not seeing our gasoline usage go up. We continue to be about 20% lower year over year. And with COVID cases, new COVID cases really dropping off very dramatically in the last couple of weeks, it's rather disappointing that we are not seeing that gasoline demand rebound in a big way. And for the fact that we're not doing that, it really makes me nervous about what ethanol looks like going into the spring and summer months, and even for the new crop balance sheet for corn. So another reason why I'm a little bit concerned about corn. And then finally, the U.S. dollar. You know, it looked like we were going to try to bounce off of lows, you know, historic support, and come rallying back. But yeah, not so fast, you know. And that's what happens when you get so many different types of stimulus and the massive numbers that we're talking about. I think that dollar still has more work to do to the downside. That will be upward pressure on things like crude oil, but also the stock market and also grains and commodities as a whole. So you got a lot of good things going on in the macroeconomic sector for commodities as a whole. The one thing that, I'd like to caution about is the price of crude oil. I don't like to see that going higher, and I'm worried about gasoline demand and therefore ethanol demand.
Well, I've really enjoyed the insight in our conversation today, Ted. And I know folks could find you on Twitter at the Ted Spread. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that in his description there on his screen. And then also, I know if folks need a little advice, they could reach out to you at the Zahner Group to get some help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My phone's always open. Even when I'm on the road, it rings through to my cell phone. So feel free. It's 312-277-0113. Feel free to give me a call if you want to chat about the markets or have any questions.
Well, I appreciate you joining us from the road today, Ted. We'll have to do this again. Thanks so much for being on Market Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jesse. I had a great time. I'd love to come back sometime.
Ted Seifert with the Zahner Ag Hedge Group in Chicago joining us today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Friday, February 12th edition of the show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great afternoon and a great weekend.